beginning of verse 10 of chapter 3 in 1 John, let's read, if you'd like to follow along, through verse 23. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest, or revealed. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us love in word. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, this is real plain language. The Apostle John is filling the shoes of a very passionate and very committed and devoted daddy. That's why he keeps referring to the believers, to the children of God that he's writing to us as his little children. Has nothing to do, as we've said, with age or even with our stage in the journey of the Christian life, but the fact that we are God's little children. In particular, these that he's writing to in Asia Minor are those that he has sown so much of his life into through the gospel, and seeing them come to faith in Christ and be baptized and follow Jesus and receive his Spirit and seek to honor him with their lives. And he's sought to teach them, and he's sown into their lives for many, many years. And now he's towards the end of his life. And at this stage in time, like we said, there's come this attack of the enemy, this deception, this heresy that's been brought into the church and trying to lead people away from Christ and to remove them from their fellowship with God and their friendship with Jesus, and they're following him. And because he is very passionate and loving as a father to these believers, he is being very plain in exposing the problem, in exposing the danger, in laying bare the issues that are facing them. And as we've said already, it's not real hard to discern. That's part of what the Gnostics, and it was the title of this, the people who followed this heresy with their special knowledge and their specialness inside that didn't have anything to do with their flesh, and so they could do whatever they pleased with their body, so they thought, or so they believed. And it was destroying their relationship and with God, and it was diluting the reality of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And so he makes it real plain here. As I said, this is a passionate father engaged in battle for the well-being of his children. He says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are made plain. whoever doesn't practice righteousness. Now, we talked about that the week before last week. It's simple. Who doesn't practice righteousness is not of God. It's not rocket science. If somebody lives like they have no use whatsoever for Jesus and have no regard for God or the law or His truth, you can pretty much put it down. They don't know Him. That's plain what He is saying. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. And by the way, there is no in between. There's only two lines on the earth. Two family lines. God and the devil. And He says, he who doesn't practice righteousness is not of God. Nor, now He gets much more specific, nor he who does not love his brother. You see, you can put on a good religious show and look righteous. But when it gets down to it, it's shallow and empty if it doesn't translate into a living love. Genuinely caring about others. And He makes it plain that that's been the message the whole time. That's been the essence of God's kingdom from day one. The message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not like Cain, who was of the wicked one. He was in the wrong line of his father the devil. And he murdered his brother because his deeds were evil. He practiced unrighteousness. And his brother's righteousness exposed that. You can put on a show. People can do, who are outside of Christ, can act nice. But the truth comes out. It always will. And that's what John is trying to help his follower or help Christ's followers that he has ministered to all these years see. It's very plain. It's very evident. And these can put on a good religious show. These that have embraced this lie, they can put on religious shows. They can seem righteous. But the reality, the truth will come out. Kind of like a story I heard Red Kelton tell. Said these two police officers been sitting in their car all morning with their radar, watching people drive, trying to catch someone. And it had gotten lunchtime. One of them looked at the other one and said, "We've sat here all morning and we haven't given the first ticket. We hadn't caught the first speeder." The other one looked at him and said, "Next car that comes by, we're taking it." So this big Cadillac come by here, the very next one. He whipped out behind him and started following. They followed him and watched every move he made. Finally, after several miles going through town, they flipped on the lights and pulled him over. He pulled over and parked his car. The officer got out and walked up to the car at the side of that Cadillac and said, "Sir, you're not in trouble. There's another reason we stopped you. We've been following you for a good ways. I've been a police officer for 40 years, and I've never seen anyone obey the law as well as you have. You just stopped completely at every stop sign, at every red light. You used your blinker at every turn. You never broke the speed limit, and you stayed right in the center of your lane. And I just wanted to congratulate you on what a great job you're doing driving." The man looked at him and said, "Well, you got to be especially careful when you've been drinking." The truth is going to come out. Reality is going to come out. And that's what John is seeking to give his people, is the security of recognizing the truth. The truth is that when someone doesn't practice righteousness, when someone refuses to walk in love, when someone never cares about anyone else, they don't belong to Jesus. They don't know God. And he reminds the followers of Christ, don't marvel when the world hates you. You're really in good company. They hated him also. Don't let that affect you. Don't let that influence you. And then he starts talking about the things that we know. Now remember, he's writing this to the believers. He wants the believers to know, to have the assurance of the truth, and to recognize those who are not Christ's followers. He says, we know that we've passed from death to life. Now that's a knowledge that every person who belongs to Jesus has and can be secure in. It's not iffy. It's not maybe so. It's not I hope so. John says, and he says it in his gospel at the very conclusion of the gospel of John, we can know that we have eternal life. He says, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Again, he's making this contrast, the children of God, the children of the devil. It's plain and obvious, and there's only one or the other. But he's assuring us the very fact that within your heart beats this desire to love the brethren, to love those in need, to love your brother and sister in Christ. The very fact that is there is an assurance and a testimony to the reality of your relationship with Jesus Christ. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love. Because we love. There's, you know, you may not pay it a lot of attention, but there's times, if you're a follower of Christ, if you belong to Jesus, there's times that things just kind of rise up inside of you, a compassion for someone. You see someone hurting or someone in need or someone in some circumstance, and something just rises up inside of you. Maybe you don't have a chance to do anything about it at that moment, but there's times that you do. I remember someone telling me who worked in construction, and they were working, and of course they'd have new people come get a job and come to work at times, and this fellow told me about a fellow who had come to work, a young guy had come to work with them in the construction, and all that he had was some worn out tennis shoes. And this construction job was no place for those tennis shoes, and that was all the fellow could afford. And because Jesus lives in this person's heart, in compassion, he was just moved. So he did what he knew he should do. He did what was in his heart to do, because he was a child of God, because he belonged to Jesus. He bought the boy some work boots, so the man didn't have to try to get by with those tennis shoes anymore on his construction job. Those things, that love that rises up in us, it's not because we're so special or so good. It's because Christ lives in here. Because we have passed from death to life. Verse 16, by this we know love. Now if you want to wonder about what love is, he lays it out real plain for us as Christians. By this we know love. The evidence of love is because he laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. Not because we deserved it. We certainly didn't earn it. In fact, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we got our act together and turn towards him before he sacrificed for us. No, because he loves us. He laid down his life for us. Then he says, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then he gets real specific again. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? There's that contrast again between a child of God and a child of the devil. People who are me first, which is the seed of Satan, they're not interested in sharing, in showing compassion, in giving, in helping, in expressing the love of God. He's making a very clear delineation between the children of which father. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, not just talk about it, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know. See, he doesn't want us in the dark. He doesn't want us, iffy or not sure. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Listen, if Jesus is your Savior, he is your Savior because you realized and accepted and understood at some point in your life that you were a sinner, that you were lost, that you could not save yourself, that you would die and spend eternity paying for that life of sin in hell. And then somehow you came to know and hear the gospel that Jesus took your place, that Jesus paid your penalty, your debt, and that he rose from the grave victorious and offers to you and me and anyone who will receive it the free gift of complete forgiveness and entrance into the family of God and eternal life in the Father's house forever. If you're a Christian, that's how you got there. And if you got there that way, there is no way as a Christian that you cannot have a gratitude and the love of God in your heart. Now, you may not be where someone else is in their walk with Christ, because we're all on a journey. But you cannot not have love in your heart. That's too many negatives there. You can't. You're going to have the love of God in your heart if you have experienced the love of God in your heart. Am I making sense with that? And that's what John is saying. Your sins are forgiven through the loving kindness of God. Not just some, but all. Past, present, future. All washed away through his sacrifice. And because of that, you are a child of his. And that love of God for you, he wants us to grasp hold of, to be the truth that we live by. And that to assure our hearts. That's what he says in verse 19. By this we know that we are of the truth. What's the truth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the truth. And because of that truth, and because we've said yes to Jesus, our hearts can be assured before him. We can know that there's a day we are going to stand before him. But we're going to stand before him as a beloved, forgiven, accepted, cherished child of his. That's the assurance we have in our hearts. And that's what he is assuring his children of here. These followers of Christ that he's trying to help see clearly which ones are of God and which ones are not. Then he says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now that almost sounds like we're under condemnation. But like I've told you before, you never take one verse of Scripture and interpret it alone. You have to take it in light of all of Scripture. And when you read the Gospel of John and you read the rest of the New Testament, you interpret it in light of that. And the Scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, my experience in my own life and people that I've talked to in these 46 years of ministry that we've been in, most all the people I know that I believe genuinely are Christians are far harder on themselves than the Holy Spirit is. Most all of them condemn themselves. Most all of them are their worst judge. Most all of them, because of recognizing and realizing that their sin is the reason for that cross. And I think that's what John is addressing here with the church and with these people that he's seeking to protect, these followers of Christ. If our heart condemns us, remember, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. God knows everything there is to know about you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your limitations. And He knows the intentions of your heart, even when your actions didn't quite measure up. He knows all things. God is greater. What did He say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 2, verse 1. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. See, He hasn't changed from this forgiving, loving God that is for us to a judging God over here. John, I believe, is reminding them that God knows all things and God has provided for all of it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He wants us to be assured in our hearts. And then He says, Beloved, that doesn't sound like He's mad at them. Doesn't sound like He's judging them. To the contrary, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, if we've got it settled in our hearts that we're forgiven, that we're beloved, that we belong to Jesus and He belongs to us now and forever. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. We see love evidenced in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on our behalf. And that translates into generous lifestyle and loving way that we live. And it's expressed to us in Christ. And our sins are forgiven. Our hearts are secured in Christ, in the family of God. And God, in His greatness, has chosen through the gospel of the grace of Jesus to make us His children. And because of that assurance, when that is settled in here, we have confidence before God. See, God doesn't want you to come to Him. Well, He wants you to come to Him, but He doesn't want you to come under condemnation. Now, if you need to confess something, confess it. Because He's already assured you He will forgive you because of Christ. And that being the case, it should translate and can translate to great confidence in our hearts before God so that our prayers are empowered. That's what He says in verse 22. If we have this confidence in our heart, not condemnation, but confidence because of the completeness of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf and God's satisfaction with it. Because of that confidence, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive of Him, from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, no, I'm not real good at keeping. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived yet. That's not what John is saying. He's saying our hearts towards God, where His love dwells. Give us that assurance to pray with confidence and expect effective results. Say, well, He says, we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, He explains that, verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's Son, that's who He is. Jesus means Savior. Believe on His name, Savior. Believe on His name, Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, the deliverer, the one who was promised to come and to deliver us. First believe, and then what? And love one another. See, it's not high. It's not rocket science. It's not real complicated. It's believe on Jesus, and because we believe Him, we follow Him. And because we follow Him, we love. And when we have opportunity, we let that love translate into action. And the more that we do that, I assure you, the more confident and the more effective you will see your prayers as you believe. God responds to faith. Faith is the connection to His power. And faith that's practiced out, lived out in love, has tremendous results. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us love.